What's up, guys? Welcome to the Think Computers Weekly Tech Podcast. We are on episode 83, and this episode is brought to you by Amazon. If you go to thinkcomputers.org/Amazon and happen to purchase something, that helps us out and helps the podcast keep on going. It is Sunday instead of Friday. I don't know if we're gonna keep on doing this on Sunday, but with me, as always, he's a little under the weather, but he's still here. It's Derek. What's up, Derek?
Yo, what's up? Definitely came down with a little bit of a head cold, so.
That's like the worst thing about this time of year is like everybody gets sick and like I don't like it.
Still got stuff to do though, so.
Yeah, still got to do the podcast, so we're here and
you can be blowing my nose, I apologize. sniffles and stuff the whole time. So.
Yeah. No, it's like so many people I know like got sick this week too. Like everybody has a cold. Yeah, because it's like it got cold enough where like you could get a cold, you know.
Well, and yeah, everybody going inside and stuff.
But let's jump right into reviews this week, and we had two products, both that we launched. So we did. We launched the review the same day the product launched, which was a lot of fun. Which means we got to have the products before they were released, which is always interesting. So the first comes from Fractal Design, and it was their Define C. And they released a normal Define C, and they released a Define C Mini, which was a micro ATX case. So we got the Define C, which is a full ATX case. And they pretty much it's pretty much a revision of their Define series. So if you're familiar with Fractal Design and their Define series, this this case pretty much looks like the exact same one that they've had out. If you know Fractal Design, they have this like this look to their cases. This looks exactly like every other case for the most part in the Define series, but internally they made some changes. The biggest of which is this is the first case in the Define series that has a power supply cover. The power supply cover is actually done quite well. I think that there's a good amount of companies that don't do a power supply cover well. Either they cut it off, so there's room up front, but then that just looks bad, you know?
Yeah, depending on the way the door is cut.
Yeah, or they don't cut it off, and then there's not room for, like, front cooling, or it's just... Yeah. Or it's just, like, really ugly and just not done well.
Yeah, there's definitely been just a handful of them just kind of...
Yeah, they're just ugly. So, Fractal Design does a really great job with theirs. It does extend the entire way, but then at the front, you can actually take a piece off. So, if you want to install water cooling up front, you'll have more than enough room. Or if you want to install a third fan at the bottom... you can install that without having to, you know, without the power supply cover being in the way. It's just done. It's done really well. I was really surprised that they did that quite well.
Is that like the metal tab tear offs, or does it actually screw on?
It's like a tab.
Okay.
That kind of pulls off.
Screw on, because sometimes you want to put that back, you know.
Yeah. But yeah.
Better than nothing. It's sort of Fantex kind of has the same idea where it runs all the way to the end and then it has the cutout. The radiator in the front and some of the Fantex cases.
Yes.
Amongst others.
Sure. Yeah. The other interesting thing about this was that they added for one of the first times, at least in my memory from Fractal Design, is they have SSD trays on the back side of the motherboard. Now we've seen a lot of other manufacturers do this, and it's just good to see Fractal Design. And the way they're able to have that full power supply cover and then an open front, so there's no hard drive cages really in the front part of the case. So typically when we see a normal mid tower, we see like one or two hard drive cages that has like three hard drive bays in it. This doesn't have it. It's completely open design. So no front 5 1/4 inch bays and no hard drive cages at the front part of the case. And their thinking is, well, everybody's using SSDs these days. Let's put a big SSD bracket on the back side of the motherboard. And that is where you can install three SSDs. And then you do have a smaller, much, much smaller hard drive cage that does support 2 3.5-inch drives. So total 5 hard drives in this case. pretty, it's laid out pretty well. I was actually quite surprised. We've seen a good amount of companies get rid of the 5 1/4 inch drive bays, and I think that's just the way it should be going forward. I don't know that many people that make use of their 5 1/4 inch drive bay.
Yeah, and it just, this is really clean on the inside because of that.
Yeah, so you take that out, and then you take out where you would typically have hard drive, you know, the hard drive cages, and this is, it's very clean, and it makes the case actually shorter. Like, this is a case that you could fully load up. You could do full water cooling build with dual graphics cards, 5 hard drives, and still be able to pick this up easily to take it to a LAN. And it's a, you know, it's a full ATX motherboard supported case, and I really like that. You know, so that's another thing I really liked about it, because, you know, so many people are going to LAN parties these days, and if you built this behemoth system, it's not the easiest thing to take with you. This
would be good.
Yeah, this is nice and small, but it didn't feel overcrowded either. So a lot of times when we have these builds, it feels a little crowded. It didn't feel that crowded at all. So I think it's just, it's kind of good to see Fractal Design kind of, I don't know if I want to say get with the times, but just kind of have an updated version of the Define series that has all of these newer modern features that we've seen on other cases.
I think you're right with get with the times. I think they've finally added things that everyone else has.
Yeah.
So that's definitely get with the times. My one question I have looking through your photos here, how much space is there between the power supply and the bigger hard drive bays that are in the bottom? Like, because a lot of times you run into an issue down there with, like, the cables might, there might be a space, but the bend that you need is really hard, or how do you feel about that?
There's more than enough room for the power supply in the bottom. The bottom hard drive cage can actually be fully removed if you don't use it.
Right.
But if you do use it, you have room for a full ATX power supply. I'm trying to find the number.
Extended?
Yes, but not super. Like, not a.
You're not gonna have a lot of luxury there.
Yeah, I'm trying to find the specs here. If it does have the listing. So, see, graphics power supply, 175 millimeter.
Okay.
So a typical ATX power supply that isn't extended, as you say, is 165.
A little bit of space,
but again, if you are using a longer power supply, which a lot of them these days are not extended like that.
They've kind of shrunk back down.
Yeah, so, but if you are, you can still remove that hard drive cage as well.
Right.
So it's kind of a trade-off. But again, even if you remove the hard drive cage, you still have room for 3 other hard drives, which, again, a lot of days people are just, you know, doing 1 or 2 SSDs, and they're done, pretty much done when it comes to storage. Most people,
yeah.
I would say.
Yeah, most people. But, I mean, I would say a lot of people are, I would say the majority of people still are using a standard drive with a solid state.
That's true. Yeah, I could say.
You can't put a standard drive up in the top, can you?
No.
Enough space. Okay.
Yeah, so it's, well, you can fit a 2.5-inch standard drive there if you wanted, right?
Right, but not a full size.
Yeah, not a full size. So like a laptop hard drive. You could do.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah, so you could pretty much do like a, you know,
laptop drive.
Yeah, terabyte laptop drive up there if you really wanted to. So again, you can fully, you know, load this up with the biggest components. You know, I installed the largest graphics card I had, which is a Zotac GTX 980 Ti, the Amp Extreme one.
Long card.
Yeah, it's like the longest card I had, and I had no problems getting it in there.
Nice. It does look like it comes pretty close to the fan, which in this case, it would be just good airflow, but it does mean you're getting close to running out of space. But I suppose you could pull that fan out if you really had to, right?
Yeah. You can take the fan out, and yeah, and there's, if you're, when it comes to the front, you could do a push-pull as far as water cooling. But again, that limits the length of the fan the length of the graphics card that you can use.
Yeah. Can you get fans on the outside of the case? Or like behind the front panel, but on the outside of the frame?
Good question. I'm not specifically sure.
Okay.
I don't believe, but I could be wrong. You
certainly mod it to do it.
Yeah, you certainly could mod it to do it. I'm not specifically sure on that one.
Okay.
But
last question with the fans.
Yes.
Can you run a fan in the bottom front part without removing the hard drive cages, or are those right in the way there?
Yes, you can. Without, you have to, only thing you have to remove is the power supply, the thing on the power supply cover.
Right, the little plate there.
Yeah. Okay. And you can actually move the hard drive cage over more closer to the power supply if you have larger fans, or if you, again, did want to do water cooling.
Oh, cool.
So.
So you don't lose that option.
Just yes. So, yeah, it's very well thought out. I was actually surprised. Again, when Fractal Design came out, we really liked them. Really great quality and all of that. It just, we see this so many times with so many companies innovating, the cases kind of get a little dated. I wouldn't say by any means Fractal Design is super dated, but a lot of their cases work just kind of dated, especially internally.
Yeah, it kind of seems like sometimes the newer startups, they don't carry that new case momentum, and they kind of like, this case is selling a lot, let's not change it, you know?
Yeah.
You kind of do need to change it continuously.
Yeah.
Keep it updated, you know?
So, but the case is not that expensive. I think it's $84.99.
It's a great price.
Yeah, it's priced well. We reviewed the windowed version. There's a non-windowed version. Oh, and this is a defined case. If you didn't know, Fractal Design defined case are made to be silent.
Right.
So on the windowed version, which we have, the opposite side panel in the front as well as the top all feature sound dampening material. So you're going to have a really, you know, quiet system with this. And if you get the version that doesn't have the window, that other side panel will also have sound dampening material on it.
Yeah, even quieter.
Yeah, so $84.99, and then the non-windowed version is $79.99. So it's priced really well.
Yeah, it's definitely in the lower price range.
Yeah, so I really liked it. The only issue that I did have, and it's partly on my part for not noticing it when I was doing my install, was that on the power supply cover, once you have your motherboard installed, it's harder to run cables up through the power supply cover.
That's not good.
Yeah, it might be partly my fault for not planning it out, but you know, as most users, I mean, I would say I'm a power user, but you know, most users are going to install their motherboard and then run all the cables after. So
yep, for sure.
Yeah. And especially like I had no problem running like the little cables, like front panel connections and stuff.
Yeah.
But the bottom USB 3.0 header connection. So it's on the bottom for my motherboard. Well, it's top and bottom, but I like connecting the bottom. It's just easier for me.
Yeah.
And that would not actually go through when I had my motherboard installed.
Okay,
you
so
know,
it's the headers that are hard to install, not the pass-throughs for the power.
The pass-throughs for the power, I didn't run that way. Okay. They wouldn't go either. But the way I don't think you, as far as looks wise, I don't think you'd want to run them down there anyways, because the cutout is actually close to the motherboard.
Oh,
it's
okay.
Not like
that's
out.
That's what I mean though.
Yeah.
Yes. You can get them through the cutouts though, with the board installed.
It's
just not, it's just the bottom that you have the issues with, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. Gotcha.
Yeah. That's like the really only issue. So super easy installation, very straightforward, very open. It's a great case. It's a case that I could totally recommend to pretty much anybody. Whether you're doing water cooling, whether you're doing air cooling, whether you're building a normal system, whether you're building a gaming system, it's just done well. And I like to see that. I like to see something that's just done well. And it's like a no frills. Like there's nothing extra crazy on here that like they just put on just. You know, it's just done really well. So definitely check out my review. I go into a lot more depth than obviously what we're talking about, but it's a good case. So yeah.
Awesome.
So the second product or products comes from Cooler Master, and they launched their Master Air Pro 4 and Master Air Pro 3 CPU coolers. Cooler Master is very widely known for their Hyper series of air coolers. Pretty much, like, everybody I talk to that does air cooling has, like, a Hyper 212 or like, one of those coolers. Because they're small, they're easy to install, and they get the job done, especially if you're not doing anything overclocking. And you're just, like, your computer is your computer. Like, you're not doing, you're not crunching numbers all, you know what I mean? Like, it's just a good,
and they're cheap.
Yeah, they're cheap. They're you know,
2 on 2 is like the entry level do work air cooler.
Yeah. So the Pro 4 is a little bit larger than the Pro 3, but they both have that same single tower design, multiple heat pipe design, and the Pro 4 has a 120 millimeter fan, and the Pro 3 has a 92 millimeter fan. And they use a new mounting system, which actually, what's kind of interesting about this is there's actually two ways to mount these. They have an X bracket, which I use, but they also have the little push pins, which I hate. if you're an Intel person and you have installed the stock CPU cooler, you know what I mean by the push pins. But their whole idea behind this is this is a cooler that's for system builders, system integrators, people who are building systems all of the time. So they wanted to make it easy for a lot of people and a lot of first time builders. This could be something that they're using.
The push pins first time? I thought they were harder. I know that you just push them through, but like I remember doing
the
first time and it was like awful.
I wrote a blog post.
I could not figure out how to get it to stay.
I wrote a blog post of how shitty that design is. Like to Intel. Like, Intel, this is shitty.
Yeah.
I don't know why there's plastic things holding the thing that's cooling my, like, you know, $300 processor.
Absolutely.
But I think Cooler Master's thinking is so many people, you know, who have used the
stock
cooler would look into something like this. So, but again, they include the X bracket, which I used, and that's much better. Oh, yeah. So these, again, they're pretty small. So there's no clearance issues. It's very easy to install because, again, it is a smaller cooler. Performance is decent, but it's nothing to, you know, write home about.
But that's where they're supposed to be, right?
Yeah, that's pretty much where they're supposed to be. I would say the Master Air Pro 3, I would suggest for a Core i5 and below. And the Master Air Pro 4 would be, I would suggest that for a Core i7. And none of these, I don't really think I could recommend either of these for like a constant overclock. Because of
not
performance.
Even a small overclock.
Slight small overclock, but nothing. Nothing.
No voltage increase.
Yeah, no voltage increase or anything like that. But one thing that Cooler Master also did with these is they have a new fan bracket, which is like the easiest fan bracket I've ever used.
It looks good.
You know, so many of these air coolers use fan clips, which are little metal clips that you use to reattach the fan after you install the heatsink. And
they remind me of hangers for your Christmas tree ornaments.
Yeah, that's basically what they are. They're cheaply made, and what happens is your finger will slip off, and your finger will hit the heatsink, and you'll cut your finger. It happens so many times; it's so annoying. Yeah. And
they fall off when you're trying to clip them on and stuff.
Yeah, this is a plastic bracket that easily clips on and clips off, and you attach the fan. Well, the fan already comes pre-attached to the bracket. But you just attach the fan is attached to the bracket already, so you kind of just clip the fan on more or less. It's a really nice design, and they give you an extra one, so if you want to add a extra fan to the back, you can.
In pushable,
yeah. Yes.
Sweet. And so these brackets then can obviously be used with other fans.
Yes. Any of the what's the name of it? Their naming scheme is just getting out of control. whatever their new fans are, so the fans that come on these, why can't I think of it? They're called like Master Fan Pro Air fans. this fan clip will work with any of those. And this one that comes with the cooler is the Master Fan Pro Air Balance. It's balanced. So the best performance, but keeping within, temperature, sound volume, decibels. Yeah, so it's very quiet. Both coolers are quiet. They didn't sound like they were taking off or anything like that. Easy installation. you know, kind of, it's one of those coolers you kind of set it and forget it type deal.
Good
quality. I like them. The as far as prices go, the let me look here. The Master Air Pro 3 will be $39.99, and the Master Air Pro 4 will be $44.99. If you're looking at them, I'd go for the Pro 4. It's just better, much better cooling capacity, I would say, and it kind of future proofs it. So, and I do expect these prices to go down a little bit as well.
I kind of was thinking that they were a little high.
Yeah, I think for launch they are a tad bit high.
Mainly because the 212. Oh, I guess the 212 is a little bit more than I thought it was.
Yeah, it's still.
I want to say that thing was like $15-$20 at one point.
Yeah, I don't know what.
Am I wrong in that? Or
no, it was like there was like a Cooler Master one that was like $25.
It was a 212 that was like nothing.
Yeah. So. But again,
these are similar performance, right? Just based on kind of what you said, chip wise.
Yes.
I guess they're similar performance to a 212.
Yes.
Not really any better.
Yeah, maybe I wouldn't say any better.
The Pro 4 is a little bit better.
I'd say the Pro 4 is a little bit better, and I would say they redid the mounting systems and the fan.
Okay. So you do have a better bracket.
Yeah, do a better bracket. I believe the fan is a new fan too, so it probably runs quieter and it's more power efficient, I would think.
It looks like a much better fan.
Yeah. But it's good to see. Okay, cool. Again, Cooler Master doing it again, reinventing a product that was like kind of a staple, and they've just added the necessary things to make it up to date and a little bit better.
Sound dampening materials on the fan and stuff.
Yes.
Like, yep.
Cool. Yep. So
a good product. That's a good thing.
Yeah, both of those, and they back up with a 5-year warranty, which is kind of nice.
Yeah.
So if you do break
everything, including the fan, right?
Yes.
Sweet.
So yeah, good stuff from Cooler Master. A lot of new products from them. It's cool because we're coming to that time where new products are coming out because we're getting closer to the end of the year.
Yeah,
which is a lot of fun because there's a lot of cool stuff coming.
Bump up those bottom lines.
Yes. So that brings us to our other articles this week, and we actually have three things. And the first is I wrote the article on visiting the Zotac factory in China. And this was a really interesting experience. I know we talked about it last week, but I put it all on paper, as you say. And it was really cool to see how a graphics card and a mini PC get built. You know, we see these products every day, and just to see, you know, the graphics card start in the assembly line, it's just a blank PCB. Blank.
Right.
And it goes through, and in about 20 minutes, it's a graphics card. Like, that's crazy.
Yeah.
And how they do it, and how, you know, how things are done, and like, it was really, really cool to see. Really eye-opening, because again, you really don't think of these things when you're using these products of how they're made. And I thought it was a really cool experience, and something I definitely, definitely think that a lot of people should see if they use these type of products, you know.
Yeah.
Just
have a appreciation for.
Yeah. It's really cool. And I put together a video that goes through the graphics card kind of assembly line, and that's a pretty cool thing if you haven't watched that.
I think it's pretty cool that they let you film the whole thing.
Yeah. It was pretty much as soon as we got in there, it was pretty much open season to film. There was only a couple places where we weren't allowed to film, and the only reason we weren't is because other competitors' graphics cards were being made there. So PC Partner, that is Zotac's holding company. So PC Partner actually owns Zotac, but PC Partner, their factory, the way they started their business and everything is they make the product, you know, like
so really it's not Zotac going to a builder, it's the builder.
Yes.
Just has Zotac as a name.
Yes, basically. Yeah, so they have Zotac as a brand.
Gotcha.
You know, we see this a lot, but they take other orders obviously, and that's how they started their business. So there are quite a few different graphics card manufacturers that use PC Partner as their, I guess, builder or supplier. And there was another order going on, but which they didn't want us to film because they don't want to have us there talking about another competitor.
Certainly.
You know. So, but it was cool. It was really, really cool to see. And another one thing that's really cool to see is how the cards are tested rigorously, as far as, you know, every so many cards is completed, goes out, and it gets these crazy tests, like a five-year extended use tests, like these crazy dust tests where, like, it puts it into this crazy environment where there's all this dust. They do electric shock tests. So, like, say there's, like, some, for some reason, there's static electricity in your system. They actually shock the card and see if there's any issues. Like, there's a lot of cool stuff. Yeah. Extended gaming test. There's an entire room. We said this was the best. And in the factory, this is the best job in the factory where people just play video games all day. You know. Really, really cool.
Takes the fun out of it, though. I always wonder that. Like,
yeah, that's true. We asked a lot of questions, and, like, if they're not playing specific titles or, like, what Zotac wants them to test, they can go in there and play whatever they want.
Oh, nice.
But I think, yeah, like, I'm getting paid to sit here all day and play video games is kind of, I think it would kind of kill it after a while, possibly.
Yeah, but maybe not, though.
Yeah,
like, if you get to do what you want, you get to play what you want, you can actually just, like, continue through your game, you know?
Yeah, and a lot of them were playing MMOs. We saw a few WoW. A couple other MMOs, which I weren't familiar with. Overwatch was being played a lot.
That's probably a sweet job, actually.
Yeah. Yeah. So it was cool. And, you know, a lot of the components get put on the graphics cards by machine, but some of them also get put on by hand. All of the coolers get put on by hand. They're screwed in by...
Final assembly is by hand.
Yeah. Most of the final assembly is by hand, which is, again, pretty cool.
Mm-hmm.
To realize that, like, oh, these are handmade. Like, this isn't, you know.
Handmade in China.
Yes. So it's cool. And it was cool to be in mainland China. I, a lot of people don't get to go to mainland China because it's hard to get a visa and...
fear of not coming back.
Yeah, it's very interesting compared to Hong Kong, which where we were kind of... where the hotel was, where they had us. Then we drove almost 3 hours... Whoa. Into mainland China.
Wow.
Limo,
of course, I see.
That was a big bus because there was a big...
gotcha.
It was like a... what are those called? Like a...
tour bus?
Yeah, like... yeah. Well, I don't know why I can't think right now. Greyhound? Yeah, like a Greyhound, basically. It was nice. You had to go through immigration once you get into mainland China. It was an interesting experience, but definitely worth it, and definitely cool to see how these products are made. So we have the full article, which does include that video that I talked about. So that's one of the better videos I think I put together as far as editing as well. So
the skills.
Yeah, working on those skills.
So I'm looking at photo 31 of 31 here, which is just a giant stack of what I assume is video cards. Were you tempted to just go up and slap a "send to my address" sticker on them? Just one of those giant boxes.
Oh yeah, yeah, yeah. So they had, at the end of the end of the assembly line, there's an entire area that just has boxes of graphics cards. And I didn't actually look at the address of, like, where they were going. I thought it'd have been interesting to see where they were going. But everybody was joking. They're like, "Oh yeah, we're taking a box, right?" But they were, at the time we were there, they were building the 1050 Ti and 1060.
Oh, that's cool. Because
yeah.
That was not yet released, was it?
It was.
Oh, it was.
It had been announced that week.
Oh, cool.
Or the week before.
Yeah.
yeah, I think the week before it was announced.
High item.
So, yeah. So we were like, yeah. Like, maybe there's an area where they're doing, like, a 980 Ti that we don't know about yet. You know?
Yeah.
But, yeah, super cool. Definitely cool experience. Definitely check it out. And, as I said, check out my video, because I think I did a good job on the edit. For sure.
And if you didn't, make sure you tell them in the comments.
Yeah.
On
if you're like, this video is horrible, Bob, I don't know what you're talking about. Yeah, comment on Facebook.
Don't
or not on, on, on YouTube and yell at me.
You'll blend right in.
Yeah. YouTube is the troll central of the world.
Brutal.
Yes. So that moves us to Case Mod Friday, and that is, of course, where each Friday we feature a build or mod that's been completed in the community. And this week we have a build from Hanoi Computer, and this is, from my understanding, hopefully I'm not wrong, but from my understanding, this is a computer store or shop in Vietnam. And they do a lot of really cool builds for customers and things like that. It's hard for us to tell because it's all the writing is in Vietnamese. And the trans, when you translate it in Google Translate, it doesn't translate. It translates, but it doesn't translate as like
it's Google Translate.
Yeah, it's not translated as like, okay, you know, say if we say a sentence, like it's just not rare. So I'm not specifically sure on all the details of this build, if it was a customer build or whatever. But one thing,
like done all the time, like this is their standard product or not?
Yeah. But one thing that's interesting is that the build is done in a really cool case from a company that I wasn't that familiar with. It has to be Asia only, it seems like. But the case company is called Johnsbo, and they have this really cool case called the Mod 1. And they did the build in this. And it sort of reminds me of the Inwin... I can't think of the name. Friend. Yeah. The big Inwin case. This is a little bit different. It actually looks really cool. And it seems...
Yeah, it's a good-looking case. Kind of makes me think knockoff a little bit. But...
It's designed again, a little bit differently.
It's a PC case that you get close all the time. So...
But it's built really well. The system itself is called Green Lantern, and it is a black and neon green build. So all of the water cooling is neon green, which who doesn't like that?
Oh yeah, it's cool.
And it's more or less a build. There's not a whole lot of modding in this.
Doesn't look like it. That's what makes me think that it's just a standard build for a customer.
Yeah, and that would be a badass system to order. We don't see it as much here in the United States as these custom shops that will build you like a fully specced out custom PC with what, like with a custom water cooling loop. Like we don't see that as much in the United States.
No.
I
mean a bit, but it's definitely, it seems like we do that ourselves.
Yeah. So it's pretty prevalent in a lot of other countries. A lot of times in Europe and especially in Asian countries you see this. So this build is really well done. I like the hard tubing, dual graphics card setup. They have the Vexor memory in there with the green accent on it, which is kind of nice.
Yeah. I gotta do that. Do a build with that stuff sometime. The memory is just cool.
Yeah, Vexor memory is really, really nice. Just a good build. I like it. I like
hard to build.
Yes, like the water cooling, like the colors. We haven't really featured a build that had this color in a while. So that's kind of why I featured it. Because I did like it.
Gotta move the color scheme around.
Yes,
I think the biggest thing though that grabs you is just the case design.
Yeah, and that's another reason.
That unique aluminum.
Another reason I wanted to feature is because like I've never even heard of this case company, and then I researched them, and they do make a good amount of cases, and this is one of their like. Kind of big deal cases, so
like a flagship case.
Yeah, so really cool build. Definitely check it out from Hanoi Computer, and we link their Facebook. You can kind of check out some of the stuff that they do, because they do a lot of pretty cool builds. It's hard to kind of decipher what all the details of each build is.
Yeah, what's going on there?
Yeah, exactly. So definitely check it out, and check out our entire Case Mod Friday section because we feature a build a week, and we've been doing it for a very long time. And that brings us to a contest we're running up until next week, up until the 16th. So you have about, as you know, today's Sunday, so you have about 10 more days to enter to win one of those Energen 5-port USB charging stations. We did the review a couple weeks ago, and they gave us an extra one, so we're giving it away. And these are super convenient. You have a USB charging station. I have a few. If you're charging more than one device, if you have a phone, a tablet, battery, headset, something that charges via USB, these are just super convenient and super easy to enter the contest. You just have to like us on Facebook, like Energen on Facebook, And then just submit a form that we have for you. And that's it.
Nice and easy.
Yes, very, very easy. So definitely get in on it. And there is it is USA only, though. So for all of you who aren't in the USA, we're sorry. But we will be running a couple contests coming up that are worldwide. So stay tuned for those ones. And that brings us into news this week. And there's some interesting things this week. The first is that Sapphire revealed, or that's been revealed, that Sapphire has a new graphics card. And this is just not, we were thinking this is just not Sapphire only. Is that AMD is releasing a new graphics card called the Radeon RX 470D. But it's only going to be in China, which makes sense, I guess. And what this is there's a pretty big gap as far as price and performance between the RX 460 and RX 470. And obviously, obviously NVIDIA with their 1050 Ti kind of is taking over that middle spot when it comes to performance, and price and all that. So the RX 470D is a cut down version of the RX 470, so it's going to sit in between the 460 and 470. It has 28 out of the 36 GCN units enabled. So you have 1792 stream processors, 112 TMUs, 32 ROPs, and 4 gigabytes of GDDR5 memory. It has a smaller PCB than the RX 470. It's clocked slightly higher than the RX 470. The guys at PC Online, which is a Chinese website, they got a hold of it, and it, at least in 3D Mark, it performed better than the GTX 1050 Ti.
Okay.
So, but it's interesting that AMD, at least for right now, is only going to have this in China. Maybe that's because that's where the most competition for this price point is with the esports and all those type of games over there.
Yeah, I mean, it's probably just simply that's where the market's at, you know.
Yeah.
Like this is the data that they have. They know it's.
And it's kind of like, we don't want a lot of people to know that we kind of screwed up and have left a big gap in between our two cards. You know? That is it's interesting. But I guess you can't get this card, at least not yet. We'll see if they kind of open it up and, make this available to the rest of the world. But there again, we talked about this a couple weeks ago, how that price point is going to be the most fiercely fought after by these companies. And it really is.
Certainly.
That's 1080p gaming. That's a lot of these esports titles. And so many people, I mean, I still play on 1080p screen.
I feel bad for you.
Well, one, I didn't do a whole lot of gaming. I have a 4K screen here that I do graphics card tests on. But like my main screen that I sit in front of most of the time is just, I have two of them, but they're 1080p screens. So
you're not playing on both of them.
Yeah, and I'm not playing on both of them. So.
But
yeah,
you are amongst the most. It is the most popular segment, and like you said, it is gonna. That's your esports. That's which is, the majority of the market. That's,
yeah,
that's what it is.
And obviously, China is a very, very big market as well.
Yeah.
So we'll see if maybe AMD would release it in the United States, maybe under a different name. I hate that name of it.
Yeah.
So. Yeah, so I would say like a 465 would be better, because it that gives you that indication that it's in between the 460 and 470.
Bob, put your logic away, okay?
I know AMD doesn't like to do logic, so
logic is worthless here.
Yeah, so talking about that segment, details on NVIDIA's GeForce GTX 1050 Ti Mobile have came out, and it looks like it is not going to be a cut-down version of the card. We've seen this with a 10 series already from NVIDIA. Because of the smaller processing node, they're able to pack it all in a mobile version. And so it will feature the full specifications of the chip, but it's actually going to be clocked higher as well. It's going to be clocked than higher the than the desktop. What?
Than the desktop version?
Yes.
Wow.
So again, this is going to enable, you know, 1080p gaming on a laptop at a pretty good price.
This is
and not only a pretty good price, but a pretty good power. You know, you're going to get.
Yeah, no, totally.
Yeah, so this is going to enable. And again, so many laptops are still 1080p screens. And that's going to make it, you know, that's going to make mobile gaming, I would say, a lot more popular. You know, you can. You don't need this big clunky machine to play games, really.
Yeah, if you're on a 13 or a 15 inch screen, or even really a 17 inch screen, 1080p is pretty good, actually.
Yeah, and like, okay, so it's based on the there's performance numbers were put out. It's between 7 and 10% faster than a previous generation GeForce 970M. And I have a laptop here with a 960 in it, and yeah. And that plays games quite well in 1080p on a so to have something that uses far less power that exceeds that by a lot is just you know, you're gonna see these super small thin gaming laptops, I think,
and I think cheap.
Yes,
you're gonna have a pretty powerful sub $1,000 gaming laptop, which sub $1,000 was like not great, you know.
Yeah, so I think it's
they were okay, but they weren't great laptops. Now they'll be, you won't have firmware issues at all.
And you can sell a very close to Ultrabook specification that's gonna play games.
Yeah.
And I think that's what we've been waiting for, because I like my big laptop that I use to, you know, that's the one that has the 960 in it, but it's big. And then I have this amazing Ultrabook that's super thin that, like, I put it in my laptop bag, and I don't even think I have a laptop in it, right. You know? And, it's going to enable that type of power and that type of form factor, so I love it. We should see laptops based on this in the next couple months, probably getting, you know, right around the end of this month into Christmas, so... If you're looking for a new laptop, I would wait for this. If you're looking for something around that price range. That's very exciting for me. Might be getting a new laptop. Talking about graphics cards. Since they launched, EVGA has had an issue with their GTX 1080 and GTX 1070 FTW, or for the win graphics cards. It had been pointed out for a while. Customers had said that their graphics cards actually caught fire. And the video has been taken down. Now I look at the post. But there was a video out where a guy was fixing his... He was recording himself, fixing his graphics card, and the graphics card caught fire. And this was an EVGA GTX 1080. And that's just... horrible PR for EVGA. The issue came down to bad MOSFETs that actually overheat, and this has been an issue since they came out. They just, because of this video and everything, now they actually released a firmware update that changes the fan curve profile. I haven't found out if it really messes up the fan curve where it's unbearably loud. But this is a pretty big blow for EVGA, and EVGA is a pretty big player when it comes to GeForce cards. A lot of people love their cards, and to have this issue is pretty bad.
Definitely.
Because I see this, and I'm like, well, I'm not going to chance it. Because nobody, even if it doesn't damage anything else in your system, nobody wants to go through RMA. Like, it's just annoying.
And they're good at it, but you don't want to do it.
Yeah, you just don't want to... So they released a firmware update, and they're if you have the card, they'll give you additional thermal pads for free. But that's just
that's lame.
Yeah,
I don't buy EVGA's response to this. Their statement is like, it's not our fault. We know exactly what's going on.
Yeah.
Have some thermal pads, stupid user. Like, no, you made a really bad product.
Yeah, and like you would think, again, I mean, we did see how the your graphics cards went through all these tests through Zotac. And you would think that this would have been found out. And there's, it's not like this is like a one-off. Like, since these cards came out and were released, there's been issues.
Well, yeah, if it's a bad component, it's going to be found on a ton of them.
Yeah, and you would think through QA testing, like, they would, that would have been found out. Like, it just...
And in fact, it might have been, but they were too much into the ship, or the cost to rework was too high.
Yeah, it's just... They just
went with it. That's what this... their response, to me, that's says that they did that, honestly. I think that they knew, and they went with it.
Oh man, I hate that. I really hate that.
It's like, this is just, it's a super defensive response.
Yeah.
If they were truly like surprised, they would be like, "We're so sorry to the customer, and send us them all back. We want to fix this. Not, we'll send you thermal pads. You take the card apart if you have the right tools to do it, and install them.
Yeah.
Hopefully you do it right, and nothing happens."
Yeah, I don't like that at all.
I mean, I'm fine with doing that.
Yeah, but we're...
But there's a ton of people that want nothing to do with taking computer components apart.
Exactly. And it's just, again, you just don't want to have that risk, too. Like, I leave my computer on, you know?
Yeah,
like, what if, like, somebody goes to work and they come back and they're... not just the graphics card, everything else is fried.
Yeah, I hadn't even, like, thought of that. Or your house burns down?
Yeah. Like... You know, these are extreme cases, but there's something to think about because, like, yeah, if my graphics card blows up, that's fine, you know, because I'll get a new graphics card. But, like, if that graphics card blows up your motherboard and your processor, that's a, you know, you're out a lot of money right there. And that, and who knows if...
VGA's not going to cover that.
Yeah, they're not... Right now. Yeah, they're not going to cover it. And you have other things that are on your... that are right there. You have M.2 drives, you know, you have... Yeah. I mean, pretty much everything in your system is...
I mean, you could, something like that could cause it to surge back through the board and blow out everything, your RAM, your processor, everything.
Yeah, and there goes, you know, at least $1,000 probably out the window.
Yeah.
So that's a problem that I have with it, is that there hasn't really been a recall. You know, they're like, oh, here's some extra pads, you do it yourself, I don't like that.
No, that's stupid.
Yeah, so... In all honesty, if you're looking into a 1070 or 1080, I would not go with EVGA, sadly to say.
Yeah, it says to me, because the truth is, I hate to break this to everyone, but EVGA has, like everyone else, they have their whole, you know, they've got the regulars, the super clock, the SS, I think, and then the FTW, and then they've got the classifieds. And basically, they're all the same thing. Some just been a little better.
Yeah,
so it's really just a matter of, like, they're all the same. You could wind up with those bad components on any of the boards, probably, and they're just underclocked and not, you know, there's not as much voltage. So the reason the FTW ones are having issues is because of the voltage, probably.
Yeah, that's just bad, man.
Yeah, it could. Yeah, and I love EVGA.
Yeah, I'm
probably have been one of their most loyal customers, honestly.
Yeah, so that's just not a good... It's not good for them, so... So, yeah, I just would have liked to see a better response, too.
They have great RMA, they really do. I've used it, like, 3 or 4 times. They don't ask questions. You can water-cool parts and then reassemble and send them back, no problem. But it makes me question, like, do they have great RMA because they want that or because they have to do it all the time?
That's true. That's very true.
We know with their motherboards, they have a lot of issues.
Yeah.
So where's the... Is it a quality control thing, maybe?
Might be. Yeah. So, yeah. Interesting.
Speculation.
Yes.
Pure very... speculation.
But it's just not... It's just horrible PR. I mean, it's just not good.
No. Yeah. Bottom line, you don't want to have the words fire and your electronic product right now.
Yeah,
that's sort of a,
and not just subject. Like, it's again, it's not one isolated incident. This is the first time it was caught on video, but there have been pictures and forum posts since the cards were released. It's not like this is not something isolated at all.
And not only that, but even if you're not catching fire, they're running too hot.
Yeah.
And EVGA's response to that is, well, if you really don't want it to run that hot, we'll send you thermal pads. Or are you kidding?
Yeah, or like here's an updated BIOS that makes the fan curve, so you know what I mean, that increases the fan speed.
Yeah, we're just gonna make it louder.
Yeah, that's just not, you know, it's not a good response, and it's just very poor quality control.
Yeah.
So, but we'll move on from there.
We digress.
Yes, to some CPU stuff. The first, we'll talk about AMD Zen, which of course so many people are excited about. A new benchmark has been spotted on benchmark.com, which is a large aggregator of Blender tests. And Blender, I believe, is a graphics rendering software. And a new benchmark was released that shows an AMD engineering sample. So we don't know what it is. But it's obviously Zen based on the results. And the benchmark shows how long it takes to render a certain scene. And obviously, when it comes to CPUs, the lower the time, the better. And this AMD engineering sample, whatever it may be, ran the Blender test in 69 seconds. That is the exact same performance as an Intel Xeon E5 2860 V2 processor. Which, if you don't know, that is a server class processor. That's like, it runs. It scored better than the Core i7-6900K, which is the latest high-end desktop processor from Intel. Like it's in, it's, you know, but we don't know which AMD Zen processor this is now. We know that AMD is shipping an 8-core processor for Summit Ridge, but they're also shipping a 32-core processor, which from right now we know it as the Naples processor, and that is for servers and things like that. And so, you know, if it is the 8-core processor that has this speed, it will exceed all the expectations we've had. But if it's not, if it's the Naples chip, it pretty much fits pretty well with what we expected. So I'm thinking this is a Naples chip just for that reason.
Yeah, more than likely.
And if you look at all the test results from this, all of the other processors are mostly Xeons. So it seems like this would be a server type chip.
Yeah, like this is a test where a server grade chip excels.
Yes.
So it's, you know, a server, it would be take another server chip to.
Yeah, but again, besides that, it's good to see great performance. Even if this is the server chip, it's really good performance. Just looking at the, you know, what you're comparing it to, it is really good performance.
Yeah.
So it's like
anytime AMD can get it. Up there that high on the list is,
yes, and it's win. Not that's not off, that doesn't often happen.
No.
So it's still, again, we're still kind of a little bit far away from Zen yet, so we don't know, but it's good to see some of these tests come out. That means that there are engineering samples out there in the wild, which is nice.
Yeah.
So we're getting closer and closer, so we'll obviously keep you guys updated with whatever we know when it releases. So back to the Intel side, it looks like somebody got their hands on and this is a retail sample, not an engineering sample, of a Intel Core i5-7600K that is a Kaby Lake processor. And they were able to test it because all of the Z170 motherboards have a BIOS update that allows you to run Kaby Lake.
Nice.
So, they did test it, and it is about 9 to 10% faster than the Core i5-6600K, and but the only reason it's 9 to 10% faster is because it's actually clocked higher than that chip. But if you change the clocks, clock for clock, it's only about 1% faster, which again, that is pretty much expected. You know, when Intel does these revisions, as that's what Kaby Lake is. It's it's a refinement kind of.
Physically, it is a Skylake chip.
Yeah. So it's kind of a refinement of the architecture. You usually see about 10% performance increase, and that is because they bump the clock. And you see a little bit of power change as far as they
a little more efficient.
Yeah, the chip is usually a little bit more efficient. It's again slightly faster. It's clocked higher because of the power efficiency, so they can run it at the same TDP and have it actually run at a higher level. So for those who thought Kaby Lake was going to be something crazy, which I don't know why you would think that, because everything
I hope nobody did. You'd be very uninformed.
Yeah, there's some guy that commented on Twitter to us, and they're like, "This is so boring." It's like, this is what Intel does. It's not like
nobody's tricking you. They even put out their new roadmap. It's two chips are going to be boring.
Yeah,
that's pretty much how it is.
Yeah. So, but it's good to see. So we kind of get an idea. And we have the graphs from this review. This is also by PC Online. PC Online is getting some cool stuff.
Yeah.
They got that 470V. And they got this.
What do you think it cost them?
To get this?
Yeah.
I don't know. you know.
Because I'm sure somebody stole one and then they're like, hey, do you want to buy
it? Yeah, because it's a retail sample. Or they got it from, you know, somebody stole it from like a retail store when they're waiting for the launch.
Yeah, this was stolen it somewhere along the line, that's for sure.
From all indications, we know that these processors will launch at CES from what we know.
Yeah.
So this is pretty far away. And this is, you know, 2 months back, so.
Yeah, Intel's probably not thrilled because they don't want reviews up for it yet. I can tell you that.
Yeah. Yeah, not at all.
Not especially, this is a full review. They have the chip. This is fully tested.
Yeah.
So. And they can't even say, well, the motherboard's not mature yet or anything, because they are.
Yeah, they are.
This is exactly how this is real world performance.
Yeah, so talking about that, prices were leaked as well this week. Intel's just not having a good week with leaks. We knew some of these prices already. But the flagship part in Kaby Lake, it will be the Core i7-7700K. And it's supposedly will be priced at $349, which is pretty much what we thought anyways.
Yeah.
That chip has a base clock of 4.2 gigahertz and boosts up to 4.5 gigahertz. But going down the line, so you have the 7700K at $349, then you have the 7700 at $309, and then the chip that we just talked about, the Core i5-7600K, is $239, Core i5-7600, $219, Core i5-7500, $199, and Core i5-7400, $189. And again, these should launch right in the middle of CES, which will be exciting.
Yeah.
I don't think we've had a processor launch at CES since, oh man, I don't remember.
Not since I've gone.
I remember the year I was there when they launched something. I can't remember. But it's been a while.
Yeah.
So that makes it fun.
Yeah, for sure. Something to look forward to. When we'll have all the news for that, of course.
Yes. We will be there.
I was going to say, in my opinion, I think this is just a good time to pick up a Skylake chip if you are looking for an upgrade.
Yeah. And I think, the new laptops that will have these, they have better power efficiency. So at CES, you'll see all these new laptops. So you might want to wait if you're looking for a laptop upgrade. Yeah. And again, you might want to wait, just what we talked about earlier, with the better graphics getting put in there as well.
Yeah, it can't be like with a 1050 Ti, it wouldn't be a bad setup.
Yeah, it'd be a nice little laptop. I'd run that.
700K, maybe 16 gigs of RAM, DDR4, and a 1050 Ti, 1 terabyte solid state.
Man, you're just
building it up right now.
I'm getting excited. I'm getting like shivers over here. So, guys, we'll keep you updated on Kaby Lake as we know more. So we talked about this last week, and you and I weren't really sold on this. We talked about it after. And I did some research because I was really surprised that like so many people were really excited about this, and I was like, why are you?
Yeah.
But after doing some research, I get it.
is this as close as we're going to get to saying we were wrong?
We were definitely wrong on the hype and everything and why it's so expensive. So what we're talking about is Microsoft Surface Studio, which launched last week. This was their all-in-one PC that was aimed at designers and creators. And it features this amazing panel, and that's what makes it so expensive. Again, I did the research, and a panel like this in the same class for designers that's a touchscreen with all the crazy color things that you can do, which I have no clue. I'm completely in the dark about all these things. But after reading and doing research, one, this display from Microsoft is better than the display is the Wacom something display. It's a display for designers.
Cintiq 27 QHD 27-inch touch
Yeah,
display.
Wacom's Cintiq 27 QHD 27-inch touch display. And that display by itself sells for $27.99. But this display that Microsoft has on the AIO is far better. And people who are actually designers said this is far better display. It has so much more than that. And on top of that, you're getting an AIO built in. But
And not just a standard AIO either. It's a pretty solid
yeah,
AIO.
pretty spec'd out, nice AIO here from Microsoft. So we talked about it last week, and this week all of the models have been sold out.
And we were like, this thing's not gonna sell.
Yeah, last week we were like, this thing's not selling at all, and apparently it's all sold out. Now we don't know how many units they had, but I think for designers who are spending, $3,000 to $4,000 on a just a display, this is something that makes it better. And from again, every indication of all the forum posts I read and everything is that this display is amazing for designers. It has everything.
I think it actually accurately like cuts out the input pad that a designer would normally use.
Yeah, it cuts that out, and
So you go straight to drawing on the display.
yeah. Well, no, the Wacom display allows you to write on the display,
Right, that's what I'm saying. Like,
but this cuts out everything. So this is the PC built in as well. So with that 27-inch Wacom display, you still need a PC, and it's thinner, it's more elegant, it's a higher resolution, it's bigger. Than that display as well. I mean, this, I think, again, we weren't hyped on it because of the fact that we know nothing. I would say I know nothing about these designer displays that are made for creators.
I thought I knew a bit, but
Yeah.
not this in depth.
Yeah. So, we were wrong in saying that this is like,
Really, we thought it was a value thing, and evidently there is value here.
yeah, there's a lot of value, it seems, in this. So it was completely sold out. Even the $4,200 models are sold out.
What we thought was we were seeing a competitor item for what, the Mac?
Yeah.
iMac. And this really isn't that.
That is
This
nothing.
is a
Yeah.
big step beyond that.
This is something that makes sense for them to release, as far as I get. They did their research and said there's all these designers out here that use these $3,000, $4,000 displays to do animation and to do all this, movie stuff and whatever. Let's build a PC around that. And I think that's a great idea, but for most consumers, we're like, what? $4,200 for an AIO? This is stupid. That's kind of what we thought,
But
And
it's yeah.
we were obviously wrong, because the thing that makes this product so great is the display. And again, from people who commented on forums who are designers who use that Wacom display, they said that Microsoft display spec wise is much better. So go Microsoft, I guess, on
I
this.
guess they did something right.
Yeah.
Well, shut up.
Yeah, we'll shut up about it. So yeah.
Our bad.
NZXT released a new version of their H440 this week, and I wanted to cover it because, we talk about esports and how popular esports is and how popular gaming is, and I wouldn't say it's kind of at its biggest time right now.
I don't want to say that it's at its Yes, it's at its biggest so far, but I don't think we're like we're not I don't think we're at the peak.
Oh yeah, we're not.
Maybe.
I don't think it's
I think
peaked.
it's
I
just gonna
think it's
keep.
still continuing to grow.
Yeah.
So NZXT H440 has been out for a while. A really great case. I believe I reviewed it. I can't remember. Yeah, actually, I did. I reviewed the Razer edition of this case too.
Oh, nice.
But they released a Hyper Beast version that has a wrap on it that the creature that's on the wrap comes from a weapon skin of CSGO.
Nice.
And NZXT is only they're only releasing 1,337 of these,
Is that
which
a
is
specific number for some reason?
well, yeah,
Oh.
one. Wow, you are not a geek or a nerd. We're kicking you off the podcast. How do you not know what 1,337 does not mean?
I don't know.
You're fired. Donald Trump, you're fired. Yeah, so they're only releasing 1,337 of these cases, but it's really interesting to see a company like NZXT use. They're not a boutique case maker by any means, and they're taking something from CS:GO and putting it on their case and releasing that case. I think that shows that esports is like massive right now. To see that, and I don't think that it's a bad design either. Yeah, it's just it's not a bad design by any means. It looks really good.
Agreed.
Yeah, I just think it's cool. I would like this case, I think.
I'd like to see more. I wouldn't buy this, but I would like to see more cases like this.
Yeah, but it's I think it's just cool to like that they like okay, here's like the super rare skin from CS:GO. Let's put it on our case and sell it. It is expensive. This is
Yeah, I'm sure they had
it's
to do
$200
some.
case.
Yeah, I'm sure they had to do a licensing deal.
Yes.
But there's like I could see you doing like other games.
Yeah. I know we have seen the Razer editions of some cases, which those are nice.
But
But yes.
you go to like the game fan bases are hardcore.
Oh my God, yeah. Especially like CS:GO, like they did it right. Like it was CS, it was like okay, but then they did like the whole skins and all that, and then there was like there's marketplaces around the skins and it's like a massive thing now.
There's like gambling involved
Yeah, like
in
people have gone to
yeah
jail for that.
yeah
Yeah,
like
so.
yeah so you're talking yeah like Warcraft obviously what else is everything
CS:GO's huge, League of Legends is huge,
yeah
Dota's huge, Overwatch is becoming huge, BlizzCon was this past weekend, so I mean, a lot of cool stuff going on.
yeah
Yeah. So.
Like, well, there's just tons of. I'm saying there's just tons of game skins that you could do on a case. Like,
Yeah.
because otherwise, cases are pretty basic.
There was a company a while ago. This is like 5 years ago, that made wraps for cases, and they made them for like the most popular cases that were out.
Yeah.
I forget the name of the company, but that's what they did, and it was just
That's
a
one thing. This is another, though.
well, yeah, but I'm just saying, like, there was a time where people were doing that.
Yeah, I think to be able, nobody, like a lot of gamers don't have any interest in this part of it, in like modifying things. They just
Yeah.
want to play, but they would love to have their PC look like this. So for
Yeah,
them
like
to
you
be able
take
to
that to a
buy it
LAN,
straight up, yeah.
you take it to a LAN, and like people who know about CS:GO know about that skin. They're like, dude, it's on your case. It's badass.
Yeah.
Yeah. So yeah, cool stuff from NZXT. You can get one. They should be available now. They're $200, $199. And I think you have the special order on NZXT's website. So yes. So moving on. Samsung is bundling a game with their SSDs and curved gaming monitors. And this is the, believe, the first time we've seen a game bundled with something other than a graphics card.
Yeah, I was gonna say that this isn't that interesting, but it is for
It's
that.
not interesting for that part, but I think that again, gaming is getting so big where it's like you have that value add-on, which you, especially Samsung, you don't need to do. You don't need to put this on. Samsung SSDs are some of the best out there and best priced out there. They're a leader might be, I don't know if they're the number one leader when it comes to SSDs, but I'm pretty sure they are.
They're certainly moving into that space for
sure. Yeah. So you'll get Watch Dogs 2 with any of the 960 Pro or Evo SSDs, the 850 Pro or Evo SSDs, the portable SSD T3, which I have and I love, and three of their gaming monitors. So the CFG70. Yeah, both the 24-inch and 27-inch, and then the CF791, the 34-inch. So it's just a value add-on, which they don't have to do. But it's showing you that gaming is so big. It's like, okay, well, I can get the 960, or I can get an OCZ or Plexter, or, you know, all these other SSDs. But with the Samsung, I get a free game, so I'm going to get Samsung.
I think to me, it's a way of like tagging those games in your advertising for your product, right?
Yeah.
It draws the two markets together.
Yeah, so it's really cool for the fact that, again, this is the first time, at least in my knowledge, that we've seen a game, a AAA title being given with something that's not a graphics card.
Yeah, for sure.
So that's awesome. And it's going to be like, okay, so are other manufacturers going to fight for these game deals where, like, it's not just going to be an NVIDIA and AMD fighting for these value add-ons anymore?
I would love to build a PC and wind up with, like, five free games.
Yeah, I know, right? So you get on with your SSD, you get on with your processor, you get a couple with your graphics card, you get on with your power supply.
Yeah.
That'd be awesome. If you say you'd be loaded, you'd be like, okay, I got, like, six games, you know?
Yeah,
didn't have to do anything.
You're good to go for a couple months.
Yeah, that's awesome. I didn't actually think about that, but now that you brought that up, that's actually an amazing idea. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, cool stuff.
Get on it.
Get on it so we don't have to pay for games.
Yeah, seriously.
Yes.
You know, that's an idea, though, honestly, because, you know, everybody's always saying the biggest obstacle to PC gaming is the cost of building the PC. You know, it's so much more than console. If you give us the games, I mean, you're bringing that barrier to entry down.
Exactly. So our final story is that it looks like we will see a Star Wars Battlefront 2 in fall of 2017. During their earnings call, EACFO said it looks like they're looking to release a new Star Wars game a year from now, in quotes. So right around this time, which is pretty much normally when they would release that, we will have a new Battlefront game, which I'm kind of excited for because I think there can be a lot more mechanics added to Battlefront that aren't there.
But they won't be. I think that if you actually take that line and you put it in Google Translate, it says we will be capitalizing poorly on the next Star Wars when we release.
Yeah. But the new DLC, which will come, that comes out in December, I think, or comes out when it will come out around when the
Rogue One.
Yeah, when Rogue One comes out, so you'll still have that pretty cool content for Rogue One. I like Battlefront. I just like Star Wars in general. So if I can play something that's like a decently good game that's Star Wars, I'm happy.
Yeah. I like Star Wars, obviously, a lot. But
yes. Was that the movie? How long did you wait in line to see Star Wars?
For episode 7? I don't know.
Yeah, you just test tell her.
Like 8 hours or something.
Yeah, they tell everybody how long you waited in line to see Star Wars, because that blows my mind.
I might have taken the day off work and waited in line for like 8 hours or something. I don't know.
Yeah, that's what reserved seating. Their theater, for some odd reason, is like stuck in like the 90s and they don't
have
reserved seating.
They have it now.
They have it, okay.
Yeah.
Because like the best part about like reserved seating for like a big opening like Star Wars is like you can come like 5 minutes before and have your seat.
I have to point out though how poor of a nerd that this makes Bob though, and how unfan he is, because a real fan wants to be there in line so they can hang out with everybody else.
Yeah, I know. I've done that.
And see
I've
all
done
the
like
costumes and the cosplay.
No, I've done that. I've done like the midnight game launches, like waiting, like when the mall's closed, but like GameStop is open, so you can pick up your game.
Seriously,
yeah, like I've done all that stuff, man.
Yeah.
But
they're
yeah,
all, they're all laughing at me.
The amount of time that you
it's
like,
a lot of time.
That's like all like 8 hours to wait. You know, yeah, it's a long time. Yeah. But good.
It was a big deal, though. You know.
Yeah, it made. But, I think it made the experience better for you, for sure.
It certainly did. I got a patch for it.
A patch? What do you mean, like a patch? Like a
iron this onto your.
That's cool.
Yeah, sort of.
Yeah. But yeah, it's good to see. We'll see another iteration of Battlefront. I think it's hugely successful for EA.
Yeah, definitely. Just polish up a turd and slap the Star Wars logo on it and.
It will be pretty popular. So, that is our news for the week. You know, I'm like super tired. I like just woke up. It's like kind of a slow podcast, I feel. But next week we have some cool stuff. First, I will be taking a look at my first RX 480. So I finally got my hands on one.
That's good.
So this one comes from Gigabyte, and it is their RX 480 G1 Gaming. It's the 8 gig version. So I'll basically get the full-on RX 480 experience. It's pretty nice. I've been testing it all this weekend, and it's a nice card.
How nice is it to test AMD cards now that they have good software?
So much better.
Yeah.
Like, you don't have the driver issues, and, like, they've added a lot, too. So previously, like, I still do it the old way because NVIDIA cards don't have this. This is one thing that AMD cards have that NVIDIA cards don't have, is that in GPU-Z, you can see the actual power draw of the graphics card itself.
Oh.
And with the NVIDIA 10 series, you can't. So we still have to use a kilowatt meter to measure overall power draw.
Draw difference.
Yeah. To obviously see how efficient the cards are. But it's cool to like go in GPU-Z and then go into the sensors and see like how much power, you know, how much power the card's actually using, because that would be so much easier than like plugging in the kilowatt meter and then doing it and then, but yeah, it's good to have good drivers for once and not any crazy driver issues when it comes to AMD cards. So
yeah, save you like a couple hours of.
Yes, and one thing I believe if I have time I will be doing, I know a lot of people have done it already, but I think it would be interesting, is to see the difference when using Vulkan and when not.
Oh, yeah.
We can do that in Doom. I don't know if there's any other titles yet, but you can definitely do that in Doom. So, So I'll have that. I love graphics card reviews, so it's going to be a lengthy, a lot of tests. So yeah, and
I look forward to it.
Yes, I like doing like graphics cards and motherboards are like my favorite. They're like the longest and hardest, and like by the end you're like fuck this thing. You're like oh, I hate it, but like but then when you see like the work that you did and like how in depth I feel like our motherboard and graphics card reviews are pretty in depth. So at the end it's worth it and it's a lot of fun to do, but like you're super stressed out by the time. Done. You're like, I have to make 46 graphs for this thing.
Yeah.
So yeah. but yeah. So definitely stay tuned for that next week. And we will have another Cooler Master launch. They're launching a new headset on Tuesday. Can't tell you what it is, but we will have that review for you as well. So again, a lot of launches coming up.
A lot of Cooler Master launches.
Yeah, Cooler Master is selectively launching products every couple weeks. For holiday season, which makes sense. I think it's a good marketing thing.
Yeah.
For them.
If all your products say new, you're winning.
Yes. So that is it. We talk about at the end of each podcast if we did anything fun this week. Did you do anything cool?
I saw Doctor Strange today.
What is that?
That's a new Marvel movie.
Okay. I haven't even saw.
What?
I haven't. What's the other movie that came out that everybody was talking about?
The Avengers?
No, the other one. With, like, the girl.
What?
With, like. Oh, man. I can't think.
Can you give
me. Like, the girl more? That. The girl that everybody was for Halloween this year. Oh, my God.
I have no idea. Are you talking about the Batman?
No.
Not Batman, but
yeah. That. What movie was that?
Suicide Squad.
Yeah, so I didn't even see Suicide Squad yet.
I haven't seen that.
Okay. But no, I don't know. There hasn't been a movie that I saw a preview for, and I'm like, I need to go see that. I don't know. You're a movie guy, though, so you go see a lot of movies.
Yeah, I have a much lower bar.
Yeah.
I'm not there, like,
I will go see Rogue One in theater, for sure.
Yeah. Which, tickets might go on sale tomorrow morning at 7 o'clock.
Oh. So, if you listen to this podcast and Derek got you those tickets, you should thank him.
Yeah, which you probably won't, because we won't have it up in time.
But... No, it's going up right after, man. It's going up tonight.
Sweet.
Yes, yeah. I will have it up tonight. So one thing really cool that happened this week for me is my good buddy, Lee, is a magician by trade. That's a lot of people laugh at that, but he's like an amazing magician. That's what he does full time. Yeah. Yeah. Oh, yeah, you were at the thing. I totally forgot about that.
Yeah.
That's like when I first met you. Yeah. That's actually how I met Derek. So let's not try to make this too long. But so Derek and I were we initially met online, and my buddy Lee, who's this magician, he's like, I have a show in Michigan. Like, you want to go on a road trip? And I'm like, yeah, sure. Like, I'll come with you. And it happened to be like, what, 30 minutes from where you live, right?
Well, yeah, and like 5 minutes from where I work.
Yeah. So I was like, dude, I was like, Derek, come meet us. You know. And Derek came, and that's the one the first time I met Derek. So that's pretty cool. But anyways. So, Lee is a magician, and he's from Pittsburgh, and obviously that's how I know him. He's one of my good friends. And in 1916, on this day, which is November 6th, Harry Houdini hung from a building and escaped the straitjacket. And there's this really famous photo that Lee saw, and he noticed that it was in Pittsburgh because one of the buildings said Pittsburgh Post or something like that.
Cool.
And this was, I think, 4 years ago, he told me, he's like, I'm doing this thing. It's going to be 100 years. So 100 years later, today, November 6, 2016, he couldn't hang from a building, but they had him up on a crane. Same thing, 90 feet in the air, and he escaped from a straitjacket.
He couldn't hang from a building.
I think there's just too much
legal stuff.
Yeah, to be hanging from a building and to do that, whereas a crane, they can just lift you up.
Like, nobody, like, yeah. Like, somebody owns the building.
Yeah, and it's easier. I don't know how he would get down if he's, you know what I mean?
Yeah. Rope lower.
Yeah. Know. So, but no, he did it this morning. I was there this morning, and he did it at noon, exact same time. Harry Houdini did it, and it was just a really cool thing, and it was really great for him, because I think his, what he can do is very special. And again, you say, oh, this guy's a magician. Like, a lot of people laugh when I say that. yeah. But if you see him do, especially his card tricks,
it's cool.
He's very, very good at what he does, and to see him
charismatic too,
yeah, to get this type of recognition is really great for him. So hats off to Lee, you know, for doing that. And
what's his whole name, you didn't say?
Lee Terbosik.
There you go.
Yeah. So if you just Google him, you'll find it. Or if you Google Houdini 100, you'll find it. Also, you had turned me on to a new podcast. Because we had talked about it. Okay. The co-optional podcast, which is a gaming podcast. Mostly, well, not all PC gaming, but a lot of PC gaming.
PC, yeah. Though,
yeah. So I'm a huge fan. I've been listening to it, so I really like that. So thank you for that.
You're welcome.
Yes. So.
It's good stuff.
Yes.
It is long. Stuff. It is always like 2.5-3 hours.
But... Yeah, it's a long podcast, but I going into the office, I've been listening to it, so I like it. So, that kind of wraps up our podcast. So, again, guys, if you are going through the podcast, we have a full show notes page that will have all of the articles linked and all that kind of fun stuff. So, if you, you know, if we're talking about something, we're talking about the factory tour, you can click on the link and go to the article. Really that easy. And in all of your favorite podcasting software, it's just Think Computers, all one word, and you can find us. Till next week, catch you guys later.